Brad, where's Emmy?
In the other room.
Tell her I said hi.
Me too.
Tell her we said hi.
We.
Do you want me to text her and say you said hi? Or like after?
I mean, for me, it doesn't have to be immediate, but.
Yeah, you know, whenever you get to it.
Okay, I'll tell her now.
In 3 weeks. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, Emmy asked me, or Nick asked me to tell you hi.
Emmy asked me to tell you hi. It was really confusing.
Anyways, welcome to the Disney College Podcast Bonus Spectacular.
We love great intros on this show.
we're full of great intros. We just kind of, you know, start and don't really, people will put their headphones on and go, did they start? And they wonder that the whole show. I am exhausted today, if you can't tell.
I'm going to be honest. It's no different from your energy on any other episode.
Oh, probably not. Yeah, no. It's probably the exact same because I tend to ramble and then James will say something. Oh, for people who don't know, James isn't here. This is a bonus episode. He's not here.
Haha, rip.
There he is. So
Nick is James today.
Nope.
You don't want to be James?
No, I'll be Nick.
Oh, okay. Nick, I'm going to let you host. Nick's hosting now.
The only one of us who doesn't have a podcast of his own.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't really have a podcast of my own.
I have a podcast coming soon, though.
Oh.
What is it?
It's the one where you pitch the perfect movie trilogy with completely unrelated movies.
Okay.
Nice.
They have to share a loose narrative thread or a similar actor. And it's going to be a competition.
We better publish that soon because like now the idea is out in the ether.
Well, I trademarked it. And if you do it.
All right.
You know, I'm a lawyer. I know these things.
Nick will come at you with the fullest of extent of the law. Is that I feel like someone said that, and I feel like I should not be quoting them.
I mean, fullest extent of the law is a phrase.
I don't know who said it. Yeah, but I heard it somewhere recently, and I think the guy who said it's a terrible person. Isn't this just an episode of Cinema is Dead, essentially?
But it's focused on one thing. We're not talking about movie news. We're not talking about the Puss in Boots trailer.
Great trailer, kind of. I don't know. We're going the Saw route with Puss in Boots.
Bless you, Nick, after like 7 muted sneezes.
Should I go into the video version and just frame that out? And that can be the advertisement.
The promo clip is just muted Nick's knees.
I really prefer you didn't.
I won't, but just picture it. As you're sneezing, it just starts slowly zooming in with like this note. Like
you can put the Fortown music behind it, and it's like him headbanging at the concert.
That's too much effort, honestly, for this show. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? I feel like everybody who listens knows who you are, but for someone who like, you know, stumbles across the show because they say, oh, Turning Red, I want to see what that is, and then they stumble into this disaster of a podcast.
I'm Connor. I am a co-host of No Highway Option and Cinema is Dead and maybe other things. I roomed with Brad and Nick and James in Disney World when we worked there on the college program, like the title of this show.
Yeah, we don't really follow the title, do we? That kind of got dropped. Nick, who are you?
Yeah, that kind of got dropped almost immediately. It was like
a few one episodes.
we reverted back to it occasionally.
Occasionally. Nick. I am a host of the Cinema is Dead and a liver of life. And I roomed with Brad and Connor, but not James, at the Disney College program.
You didn't room with James, just as yeah, I did.
This is like, I was like, he's here. I considered Emmy our sixth roommate, not James.
James was just kind of in the, you know what? He didn't really even stay. There were nights he didn't even show back up. The more I think about it.
Nick had a little cardboard wall up at all times that just said, no James. Like horse blinders that just said James on the side.
I mean, he would show up in his hat and be like, I'm Polka James, and do a dance. And that was when I knew he was here.
And we'd laugh, and then he'd go away, and we wouldn't see him for until we needed to yell at him for the dip thing.
I would try to be asleep.
Yeah, that's the vibe of the apartment, you know? So, Turning Red came out. That's cool, you know, the movie. If for people who can't see, because, you know, this isn't a visual podcast, in the background, Connor actually changed his lights to be red in his bedroom. That's so right. That is full dedication. I did not do that, and it is just kind of bright in here. But, yeah, so, I mean, lately what me and James have been doing is just the Disney Animated Studios movies, but we figured, you know, there's a new Disney movie out, so we might as well put it as a bonus episode. And that is what we did. And, yeah, you're listening to it. So, what did everybody think of Turning Red?
Well, I'm interested to hear, what did you guys think about it before you saw it versus after you saw it? Like, what were your expectations from the marketing, and then what did you come away from it with?
I think the first trailer I saw, I was like, okay, that looks pretty funny. It was just the one where she, like, briefly turns into a panda and the Backstreet Boys mm-hmm. are playing or whatever. I'm like, that looks like it could be interesting. Trailer two, I thought she was super annoying. And I still knew I was going to go see the movie, but I'm like, this is going to be a lower Pixar one for me. And then I got all pissy when they took it out of theaters, even though, you know, I got to see it for free instead.
Yeah.
I also thought, I didn't know she was a panda until about 2 weeks ago. I thought she was a bear. No, that is a bear. What did I think she was?
A fox?
Yeah.
A tanuki?
Do you think she's Mario from the Super Mario game?
Yeah, the tanuki suit. It's like a Japanese version of a raccoon, I think.
So I didn't think that, but I definitely thought it was it could have, that fits. I don't know what I thought it was, but, you know, then they said red fox, and I was like, that makes more sense, and I'm gonna pretend that I never thought it was anything
panda.
It was a panda.
Yeah.
Oh well, you know. Sometimes. Didn't
turn into old TV comedian Red Fox.
I'm curious to hear what Nick's thing was, because I know that he was not. I don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah. So this movie looked really bad to me going in. It just didn't look good. But, you know, as we'll see, it was better than I thought it would be.
I thought it looked cute and fun. And after watching it twice this weekend, it has made its way into my top 10 Pixar movies.
Oh, wow.
I'm a very big fan of this.
I'm really impressed that you saw it twice one weekend, because I don't think I've ever...
Weekend/ I watched it today while I was doing work to, like, just refresh and be like, okay, what's things that I really want to point out?
Hold on. I don't want to put Connor on the spot, but Connor, we're going to play a little game. It's a little lightning round. I'm going to name a Pixar movie. You tell me if Turning Red is better or worse than that movie.
According to my Pixar list. Sure. Yes. Okay. Which I'll be redoing leading up to Lightyear, but that's another story.
Toy Story.
Better.
You think Turning Red is better than Toy Story?
No, I think Toy Story is better than Turning Red.
Oh, okay. I thought we were doing the reverse. Okay.
Okay. Okay, now so, so I'll be saying if the movie itself is better or worse than Turning Red.
Okay. Got it. So Toy Story, better. A Bug's Life.
Worse.
Toy Story 2.
Better.
Monsters, Inc.
Better.
Finding Nemo.
Worse.
The Incredibles.
Slightly worse.
Wow, okay. Cars.
Way worse.
Ratatouille.
Much better.
WALL-E.
Better.
Up.
Worse.
Toy Story 3.
Worse.
Cars 2.
You don't even need to know the answer to that one, but slightly well, that's a travesty. Cars.
Brave.
It's a travesty that you worse. Don't think Cars 2 is the greatest.
Monsters I like Cars 2 better than Cars.
Monsters University.
Worse.
Inside Out.
Better.
The Good Dinosaur.
Bottom of the list.
That might be the worst movie that I've ever seen from Pixar. Finding Dory.
Worse.
Cars 3.
Worse, but the best Cars movie.
Coco.
Better.
The Incredibles 2.
Worse.
Toy Story 4.
Just two places worse. Very close, though.
Onward.
Worse.
Soul.
Better.
Luca.
Worse.
So Turning Red slots in at number 9 on your list?
Nice job.
That was impressive.
Way to figure that out.
I never would have been able to do that. That's impressive.
But yeah, I'm planning on leading up to Lightyear, just scrapping it and rewatching all 25 just to like put them in a fresh list. But Turning Red's really good. It's funny. It's like the animation's nice. The score is killer.
That I do agree with that. Yeah. I mean, what's his name?
Like the songs too.
What's his name? It's, Ludwig or whatever. He used to
Ludwig.
Do the.
Garrison, I think it is.
Yeah, he used to do the Childish Gambino stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, him and Ludwig, I think he would do the beats and stuff for his like first three albums.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it a lot. Like I won't say that but it felt very similar to me. And this might be, I talk about this a lot on the show normally, but it might just be like I hold the classics kind of too close, I think. Whereas like, because I don't think this really, to me, touches any of the earlier Pixar movies, but I think it rivals some of the Disney Animated Studios movies. I felt it closer to that in a sense, but also not at the same time because it has that, like such a different tone to most Disney movies that I think only Pixar would kind of explore.
It's unmistakably modern, like not just in the setting of 2002 and like the scope of it and being modern in the sense of it's like, oh, it's about a teenage girl and we're gonna touch upon periods because like, that's a normal thing and it should be destigmatized. But it's modern in its like sensibility of humor. It's quick. The jokes happen really fast. Her friend Abby will say a dumb thing and then you just move on real quick. Abby's funny.
Abby is
because
she's
Abby because is the worst she's an annoying teenager and we were all annoying teenagers at one point.
She's not realistic. She caught a dodgeball with her mouth.
I enjoy her character, weirdly. After we saw the movie, I was like, both me and Emmy were like, oh, she might have been one of our favorite characters.
See, she's not my favorite character, but... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead, finish your thought.
The way she acted, the way she was overenthusiastic about everything, she was very much a theater kid, even though she wasn't in the movie. She was just very much like one of those types. And I found it very funny.
I agree with the score. I like that. I'll be the first one to admit this movie was not made for me, nor what, like, I was not the, I don't say I was in the target audience, but like, I don't necessarily relate to all the plights of being a teenage girl. And that's just how it is. But there's a lot of relatable things here. I think that there's two sets of relationships that I really, really liked in the movie, and we'll get into it, but I really liked May and her mom's relationship. I think that was really wonderfully done. And I really, really, really liked the May and her and the girl, I forget what her name is, in the green hat. And like, we're all green.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was, she was my favorite of the, I mean, she wasn't the main character, but I think she was such an example of a wonderful friend. The other two girls I had issues with in their characters, but I understand, and that may just be because those kind of people annoy me. But I mean, the movie, I would probably put it somewhere near the middle of my Pixar list.
Okay.
But that's just because I like Up, for instance, more. But I also may have watched them at different times, like Brad said, at different times in my life, and I haven't rewatched a lot of those movies in a long time.
Mm.
Like, I have a deep connection to Flick, just because I met Flick when I was like 3 years old, and that's like a core memory. Core memory, yeah. Inside Out.
Yeah, Inside Out. Everyone's going to have the thing that they connect to most as a kid. I feel like this is definitely going to go down as like one of the top ones if you look at Pixar in 10 years, if it's still associated with Disney and if Disney keeps stop shafting them to Disney Plus. But I think this one's going to remain up there because, you know, the parents of kids now are relating to being a teenager in the 2000s. And then the kids will be like, this, like, helped me figure out a little bit about the relationship with my parents and, like, why I feel certain ways, accepting the person you're becoming because of hormones and puberty and all that. I don't know. It just really worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Nick where I think some of it, to me, was a bit unrelatable. Like, in a, like, I feel like a certain audience would be able to relate to it a bit more. Just, I mean, a certain like age range too. But there's certainly, I think the setting it in the early 2000s and just kind of the overall like atmosphere of the movie and whatnot was able to like help keep me involved throughout. And, yeah, I sounded more professional there than normal. Not really professional, but no, I thought it was a fun movie. I think it could end up being one of the more top ones. I think it's interesting that like the past three Pixar movies haven't come out to theaters because I don't know. I feel like they kind of get pushed aside compared to, I mean, maybe not. I guess the world's changing in a sense and kids can watch it easier.
Weird. I think that Turning Red was definitely pushed because of when Omicron started and they were like, there's a new variant. We have no idea where it's going to be. It's going to be just after winter. So like, it's probably gonna be a lot worse. Let's just push it there. And then when more stuff about Omicron came out and it's like, it's not that bad a variant, really. It was too late. They couldn't double back and be like, never mind, which sucks. And it's obviously very frustrating for Pixar employees. I think it's interesting that the last three movies, and they're the first three made under Pete Docter as the new chief creative officer.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing that Pixar is going for more, and like this is kind of the animation industry as a whole at the moment, but they're going for more cartoony and personal stories, it seems.
Yeah, which, like, is people could criticize the animation from the trailer, like I kind of did when I saw it in a sense, but like there still is that Pixar like animation throughout in like little details and like,
oh yeah, the food looks incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from a realistic texture standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was just Omicron though, because I have a weird feeling that, because I mean, Encanto did all right in theaters, but it definitely kind of hit its like stride with when it hit Disney Plus.
Well, yeah, but that's partially because kids want to watch movies over and over again all the time.
That's true.
So like that definitely helps it. I don't know, because I think that this still would have been relatively well received if it was released now, because the only kids, quote unquote, kids movies are made for everyone. Animation's a medium, not a genre, whatever. But the only kids movie that's out right now is Sing 2 still.
That's true.
So yeah. Like there is a hole in the market that this was ready to fill, but it's weird choice. I really hope they don't keep up with it, but Disney is really weird right now.
Didn't he, I did hear, I mean, I'm pretty sure Lightyear's coming regardless to theaters, but I did hear during the investor call when he was listing the theatrical releases, he skipped over Lightyear.
Oh, God. I saw someone went on, like, the Disney website in Brazil, and it mentioned something about Lightyear coming to Disney Plus. But it could have been a weird mistranslation. It could be day and date, same release.
I prefer that, if any, because I've read that they actually, for Lightyear, like, you know, in IMAX, how it, like, expands through the whole screen?
That's, like, there are shots in Lightyear that are made for IMAX.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the advertising.
Yeah, so I really hope, because I think they'll be missing out on a lot of money if they bump it, but I also don't know how much faith I have in that movie. Not because I think it's going to be bad, just because I don't know. Yeah, you know,
they would be crazy to not put that movie in theaters. That movie is going to, opening weekend is going to be through the roof. I do think it's interesting. You know, you mentioned the look of stuff. Luca and Turning Red are very distinct animation styles.
And, they almost look like Aardman.
Yeah, and they're more similar to each other than they are any other Pixar thing. And also, I don't know if you guys have seen the people on like Twitter going crazy about Turning Red. Is that just like non-veiled racism? Like, I don't understand why people are mad.
Partially. Partially is racism, sexism. We shouldn't be teaching. Like, I don't want to hear about periods, even though the mom just says pads twice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that much of a period movie, because it's, sure, they reference it a few times, but it's about just puberty and becoming your own person. And it just so happens that the mom's like, hey, you need pads because they're a normal thing that people who have periods use.
Did you guys want to hear a post that I saw on... It was on a tweet. It was diss Facebook cringe.
Is it the long one on Facebook? I didn't read the whole thing, but is it the one?
Yep. Would you like me to read it for
I listener? Would like to hear it.
Okay. This is from a person named Caitlin Willing. We're not trying to, we're doxing you here, Caitlin. You already have a tweet that has 41 retweets. It's fine.
Is it Caitlin with a K?
Caitlin with a K.
Got it.
Parents beware, .. I don't usually do this. Because of the straight up ruthless and vicious hatred I've been getting below. But here we go. Just a heads up to all the parents out there. The Disney movie Turning Red is not for kids at all. Especially not for families trying to keep their children close to Jesus. Yes, yes, I know Disney movies don't instill Christian values, and I don't look to them to do so, but typically they're important and valuable life lessons being taught. You will find the complete opposite in this movie. Sad day, Disney, and they tag Disney. It has the potential to be so cute. Parents beware. Just a few things that stood out. The little girl talks about at age 13, your own person, an adult. You can do whatever you want, say what you want, etc. Her and her three friends talk so poorly about their parents, come up with a plan to sneak out and go to a boy band concert, which they end up doing. The girls sneak out to a co-ed party as well to, quote, give boys rides, end quote, as a panda to raise money for the concert. Says her parents won't let her go because the band, quote, sounds like stripper music.
That was a shocking joke that I did laugh. That was really hard.
I was surprised Disney kind of said, yeah, and, sure.
Well, and her follow-up to that is, why is that a bad thing?
That's true. Yeah. I did read something that said, I know that there's still probably more, but I just have this random thought that said if John Lasseter was still head of Pixar, this wouldn't have gotten made.
Yeah, because Pete Doctor is taking the creative part of Chief Creative in mind, and he's like, let's tell stories we haven't done before, and he's not chasing another Best Picture nomination like John Lasseter was towards the end of his run. Anyway, sorry.
To continue, the girls talk about going to the concert as girls, but leaving as true women after. The word crap is used.
Oh,
so much emphasis is put on her friends encouraging her to be this new rebel she has become and embracing it, that she no longer has to be this straight-edge, overachiever girl under her parents' wings. So much rebellion encouraged. The ritual is super freaky, where she is levitated by her chest in the air while surrounded by adults chanting and spirits are called out of her. She tells her Tamagotchi it's about to meet its daddy and uncles, referring to the boy band members being her Tamagotchi's daddy.
Funny.
There's a big scene about the girl getting her period and her mom bringing pads to the school and embarrassing her. The little girl draws, quote, sexy, her words, not mine.
She does say, why did you draw such terrible sexy things?
Who works at the gas station. Her mom finds the drawings of her shirtless crush and brings them to the store and accuses the boy of being 30 and a pedophile. He says he's 17 and she says, well, that's what happens when you do drugs all day and won't wear sunscreen.
Again, great joke.
Yeah.
At the end, the girl stands up to her mom and says she likes boys' music and gyrating. Says she's 13, so deal with it. Some of these are not as much points as they are just plot points. But
they're just listing stuff that I found very funny in the movie.
The little girl then starts twerking at her mom and smacking her butt saying, take this, mom, take this. Final quote, when the little girl decides to turn into a panda in public and her mom asks her not to, she says, my panda, my choice. Read into that what you'd like. Maybe none of this is a big deal to you and your family, and that's okay. No judgment, misspelled, here if you love the movie. I encourage you to watch it on your own, quote, if you have time, and make your own judgment. I was just caught very off guard while watching and explaining all these things to my children in the moment and why we don't agree with them. If I had known what all this movie entailed, we would have just skipped it all together and enjoyed a different, lighthearted Disney movie. It seems like this one was intended for teenagers, although I still don't agree with the message for teens. But Disney did not brand this movie for teens, and my littles were so excited to watch it. Which, like, my sister watched this movie with her kids, and they enjoyed it, and she enjoyed it. So, like, lighten up, Caitlin.
Yeah, but the Toy Story movies have had multiple references to suicide that I watched as a child, a very young child, and then rewatched them when I got older and went, oh, my God. I didn't ask what that word was, because I just was happy to see Woody and Buzz.
Yeah, and I don't think that a lot of the things that we realize in this movie are going to be picked up on immediately by kids.
Also, this, okay, yeah, it's an animated movie. Not every animated movie is for kids. This is a family movie. It's designed for everyone. It's not designed to be a babysitter for an hour and 47 minutes like a lot of people treat Disney movies as.
I would like to point out that the film is rated PG, which for, I forget what her name is, that stands for parental guidance. It includes in the thing, it among other things, because I don't really know what thematic material means, and I've never really known what that means.
It's but like it, steaks, really, just steaks.
T-bones, ribeyes.
the mom having a her eye from or the grandma having a slash on her eye from the mom's panda attack might be considered a thematic element.
True.
Thematic, well, elephant.
In the yes. in the rating, it also includes suggestive content, which kind of describes some jokes in the movie and language it lists as well.
Well, so. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. Like, and the whole, oh, this encourage, like, people being like, this encourages rebellion. Every Disney princess movie is encouraging rebellion.
That's
it's
true,
all about teenagers striking out to live on their own. That's what they all are. Encanto was literally just to hell. I mean, not really, but like similar generational trauma type thing.
I mean, Little Mermaid was about her trying to leave.
It was about her trying to leave and go hook up with a dude.
So she could get legs.
And in I believe Aladdin, she left home to go hook up with the dude. And in Beauty and the Beast, she took her dad's place to go, well, she didn't hook up with the dude right away. But like anybody getting mad over this movie, like, shut up. If you're listening to this, if you're that one person I didn't love the movie, but I appreciated the good parts. I didn't go in saying I'm gonna hate this no matter what. And if you're that person commenting on the Disney College Podcast Instagram things, that's directed to you.
There is nothing political about this movie. It's just a movie. My Pan and My Choice.
Connor, don't you know that it has women and people of color and like and non just white dudes, so it's political. Duh.
Oh my god, when they announced sorry, good.
Oh, the guy that I called out on Instagram, it was because I was commenting under a political page on the Disney food blog, like overposting, and then he decided to comment on one of our posts, and I kept going with it. So it almost got worse than it did because I almost, you know, made a bigger deal out of it. But, you know, that's what happens when I randomly post things on comments.
But still, we hit that. Oh, yeah, but there shouldn't be politics on Disney Food Blog. Disney Food Blog is great because they just post neat pictures of food, and then I send them to my ex, and we go, damn, that would be tasty.
Yeah, but I think
do you see at California Adventure, they have frozen guacamole on a stick? What? I don't know if that's going to be great or terrible, but I would like to try it.
Frozen guacamole on a stick.
Doesn't sound great to me, but, you know.
I feel like it would be really refreshing.
I don't think I want that. But I also kind of do.
Exactly, right?
Have you guys looked at the Wikipedia page for this movie and what the voice cast is described as?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, so this episode is just a lot of me reading, but Rosalie Malin Lee, a 13-year-old Chinese-Canadian girl who suddenly transforms into a huge red panda whenever she experiences any strong emotion, such as excitement or anxiety due to her ancestors' associated mythic connection. Okay, normal. Ming Lee, May's strict, overprotective, and overbearing mother, played by Sandra Oh. Love Sandra Oh. Miriam, a singing tomboy with braces, who is one of May's best friends. Abby, an energetic girl and one of May's best friends.
And Priya, Nick's favorite character.
I do not like Abby. Priya, one of May's best friends, who is excitable even with her deadpan expressions and voice. You know what
it is about Abby? And had her gay moment cut.
It was cut?
Well, so there was an open letter from Pixar after JPEG's whole complete fumbling of the football response to the Don't Say Gay bill. And it was from Pixar animators being like, yeah, they make us cut out same-sex attraction scenes in our movies. We were planning to have one in Turning Red, and it wasn't there. Even though you can kind of tell it was supposed to be between her and the pink-haired goth girl at the party. They're like doing a dance and like the other three friends make like a meme face where they're like eyebrows are all up and they're like, But that's all I have to say about that.
You know what I didn't like about Abby? Was that she didn't speak in sentences. I don't mind if you're excitable, but she didn't like, she screamed everything.
She spoke full Korean sentences.
Well, that was cool. I didn't know that she was Korean until that point, but
I could only tell that because I had the subtitles on and it said, speaking Korean. I'm sorry. Have you heard of ABC's mini golf show, Holy Moly?
Yes.
Yes.
The mini golf show. Guess who's joining season 4 as guest commentators?
Who?
Well, why else would I be excited?
Is it the Muppets?
Vin Diesel?
It's the Muppets.
Oh,
that's a good addition.
I guess I'll watch this show now.
Can't wait to have wrong-sounding Kermit tell us about a hole-in-one.
Steve Whitmire was just doing an impression. Matt Vogel is doing a better version of Kermit as a character. So what if the voice is weird? You've had 5 years to get used to it. Get over it.
I knew that would push Connor's buttons.
Because it's annoying.
I can't find that review on about turning red on Facebook. I'm trying to find it. Because you know what I'm doing with that, right?
Are you posting it?
Kind of. But I'm going to post it in the show description so that
it's just going to be the whole description.
It's just going to be the rant.
You know, I actually like me putting this movie in the middle, maybe even like middle low of my rankings. It's not that I dislike this movie. I actually really enjoyed it. I watched it again after watching it the first time just to like see what things I missed. I still hold that the first 10 minutes, not great. Didn't love the first 10 minutes.
She is annoying in the first 10 minutes.
Once they get to the mom dynamic, I really like the family dynamic. I think that was really well done, and it was not, and I think obviously because of the cast and the director and writer and everything, it was done really authentically. And I think not even the cultural stuff, I think that was great, but like the mother-daughter dynamic, you know, growing up having a mom and sisters, like I can see that, and it seemed real. It didn't seem forced. It didn't seem like, oh, the best part of the movie, not the best part, but one of the part I didn't like was Abby. And then also when the dad says, yeah, I've seen your mother's panda. It's huge. That made me laugh a lot.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
It was just, I was
My second watch made me really like the dad more. Like the first time I was like, he's just, there's like a funny guy. But like, I don't know, you watch it and he's just this chill stay at home dad that like is good at cooking and wants to have a good relationship with both his wife and daughter as they're fighting. And like, I don't know, that's the type of dad I strive to be. I don't have kids. I realized how that sounded. Right?
You have us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're your children.
Yes to both. I saw the post credits, and yes, you are my children.
Wait, there's a post credits? Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's. I'm gonna spoil it now, just because. Why not?
Dad loves Fortown now.
Yeah.
He's doing dances and singing along. One of the saddest little scenes, not sad, but like it's a sad little scene is. When May's leaving to go to her fake mathletes thing, and the mom's like, I'll come with you. She's like, don't you want to stay home and hang out with dad? And he perks up, and the mom's like, let me tell you about my double jointed elbow. And he deflates. He's like, oh man. But you were saying, Nick, about how like ranking it bottom lower still
not bottom.
Like it.
I mean,
middle lower, middle lower, middle lower is what I meant to say.
Yeah,
but like. Again, looking at the, at least with my Pixar ranking, like, everything from, like, 20 and above, there are 25 movies, and at least for me, everything 20 and above are, like, well done, enjoyable, and good. It's just, like, once you get into 13 to
15, maybe?
Okay, that's where I have onward, so, like, they're both good.
Because I put a lot more into, for a lot of years, Finding Nemo is my favorite movie. But I also have a really strong memory of seeing that for the first time. So I might be a little skewed with that.
We watched Finding Nemo too much in elementary and middle school, if we had a half day or if we finished a test. So I got so tired of it. So I haven't watched it in a while. And I just have a bad thoughts about it.
You know what would be a fun ride at Disney World is if they made pandas you can ride on.
I think at the most this would get a restaurant in the China Pavilion.
Put a ride in the China. Like these movies need to have some kind of staying power. I think, you know, like, we need Luca, we need this, we need Coco. It's like, what is keeping them from putting Coco in the Mexico Pavilion?
Me. I think they are. Well, I know why Connor doesn't want it there, but
I love Grand Fiesta Tour starring the three cap.
they could do both. Build a new ride.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, yeah, but like, that's not Marvel or Star Wars.
See, if I was CEO, I'd go like, I'd bring things back to Eisner times. Just taking big swings, whether they're hits or they're not, big swings.
Are you saying you don't love Bob Chapek?
I think it's too early to see his tenure. I can say and will say, I think he horribly handled the situation in the last year. I think he hasn't handled things with the pandemic. I think he horribly handled the political situation in Florida with the Don't Say Gay bill. Do not support his actions and lying.
Correct.
But I also don't think I it's hard to, you know, judge someone in a vacuum, but I don't, there's not a lot that he's done that's good that I'm like, yeah, I agree with this.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that he's been in the CEO position for, it feels like Bob Iger saw a lot of what was coming down the pipeline and just went bye.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like he tossed Chapek a sinking ship, and like, but at the same time, at least with the parks and stuff, Chapek was head of parks and resorts. So like, with the, or whatever, the consumer products and entertainment division or whatever it's called now. So like, the things people don't like about the Galaxy Star Cruiser and how people think Galaxy's Edge and Avengers Campus seem cheap. And all that, like, it was still Chapek. I don't know.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
he's had a first year, to say that.
He doesn't come creative. Like, Michael Eisner was, like, really invested in the creative side. And Bob Iger, I think, took that and kind of did a different type of investing in the creative, but still did. And then Bob Chapek, it seems to be more money-oriented, which, I mean, from a stockholder perspective, sure, but there's a lot that feels different.
John Oliver called him Disney's business thumb recently.
Yeah.
He does look like a thumb.
He does. Yeah.
There was a nice review I just found that said, I don't 100% have the context because I scrolled by it, but it said, I believe in science, but this is not the right science and shouldn't be portrayed in an animated movie. So that's something.
It's a joke, right?
I don't think so. I think,
man, why are people awful?
Hey, Letterboxd likes this movie a lot.
That's good. Google,
got a 5-star review from West 10 that just says in all caps, "I want to touch the fur. I know exactly what it would feel like. It just makes too much sense. I want to touch the fur."
I hope they get
kind of creepy.
Yeah,
how old
is
the person
funny
who wrote that?
I don't know, man. It's Letterboxd. No one knows anything about anything.
Well, if you're the person that wrote that and you're over the age of 13, you're kind of weird. And if you're over the age of 18, you should be in jail.
People are comparing this a lot to Lady Bird, which, like, in a similar way.
I don't know if I see that.
Starring another favorite of Connor and Nick, Saoirse Ronan.
It's in the way of, like, the discovering you're your own person, accepting that your mother has also gone through her own trauma, and like seeing that while striving for your independence. I don't know. That's what I got.
Sorry. I know we're mid show, but I was reading one of the reviews and zoned out. I think I found the review. If anybody wants to see the review, it is our episode description.
Just take a look at that.
Yeah, I think I feel like the one on Facebook that I read was way worse. But, you know, we're just going to post a minor version of it.
Someone said it was a little too excellent.
How many stars out of 5 would you give it?
Who is
me?
That?
5 out of 5. This is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Brad?
Jackass Forever came out this year, Connor, so you take that back.
Jackass Forever is number two.
Okay, good. As long as it's up there.
I fully acknowledged that the Silence of the Lambs prank is one of the greatest moments ever put to cinema, but this is nice. It's nice and good, and I hope Lightyear's good, too.
I do, too. I don't know what my thoughts will be on it, but I do hope it's good.
Brad, how many stars do you give Turning Red?
Out of what?
Out of five.
Out of five? I think on Letterboxd I gave it 3.5. It would probably be, I know this sounds weird, but it would probably be somewhere between a 3 and a 3.5. Probably not exactly a 3.5.
You ready for the surprise of the episode?
Drum roll.
I'm going to say it's between a 3.5 and a 4, depending on my mood.
Nice.
Because the first time I watched it, I did turn it off after 10 minutes. I was like, this is awful. I rewatched it, didn't love it, but was like, that's fine. And then I started thinking about it today, came home and watched it. And it's enjoyable. It's not my favorite Pixar movie, but would I watch it again? Yes. Do I understand why people like it? Yes. Do some people connect to it more than I do? Yes. That's just how it is. But it was enjoyable. It was a good movie.
I do think if I was like 13 and I watched this, I would relate to it really hard. So
yeah, maybe society's just beaten us down so much that we can't relate to hopeful youths anymore.
Yeah, I've definitely looked back at myself a lot during this movie and was like, I see how I was like this and like this and like this. Basically, every time they said something annoying and cringe about being too much of a fan of something, I'm like, I remember this. Except mine was The Simpsons.
See, I was the annoying person who thought they were awesome at everything. And it was a real gut check when I found out, like, oh, people don't like me.
Oh, people do like me.
We like you, Nick.
No. Well, 13-year-old Nick was awful. Worse than 26-year-old Nick.
I don't think so.
I think probably. We probably all sucked as teenagers because everybody sucks as a teenager. That's part of the thing. You learn how to not suck as you get older.
It's weird. Nick, are you caught up on South Park?
No, but I mean, go ahead.
Okay, I won't spoil anything, but they just kind of did a similar episode the more I think about it.
Sort of.
Like, very, not the same at all, really, but like the growing up aspect.
I don't know, it kind of just has teenager.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm trying to think that, like, there are a lot of movies that are about growing up and like the struggles of that, but this one is unique in the avenue it took.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to just go back. I think that the relationship, the friendship between the singing tomboy with braces, quote unquote, from Wikipedia, and May, I think was just, that's the kind of friendship that every person, regardless of their age, their gender, whatever, that's what they want. They want that kind of friendship that just like, hey, you're going through a rough time. I'm going to be right here. I think the other two friends were good too, but they didn't have the agency.
Well, yeah, you had the leader friend and the follower friends.
Yeah, and I think that friend was just like, I was the whole time I'm like, this is a good character. Like, this is a fleshed out, I like them.
And she styled herself after Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, is that why I liked her? Because I was thinking, I'd waiting for Scooby to show up. They were all wearing one color.
Imagine if he did
show up. She also looks a lot like someone who I've recorded podcasts with.
Me?
No, she looks, at least, I don't know. When she first popped up, I was like, that looks like Emily from I Drinker Podcast. But
speaking of that, this is now the second podcast in a row we've done where I Drink Your Podcast has been mentioned. And the second time that I will say, come drink with us. Do a podcast on Cinema Is Dead with us.
And if we do plugs at the end, it'll probably be mentioned a third time.
Yeah, I want them to drink with us. I don't care if I'm a guest.
Wink.
I'm not a good guest. I understand that. Come drink on our podcast.
You're a fine guest.
If we want to do plugs, I mean, I don't care right now. I feel like we kind of covered the whole movie, so it's
a great movie.
It's, yeah. It's,
the friends are color coded: purple, yellow, green, red.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
And Abby does a whole jump while in a split position.
Nick's favorite character.
She's the worst. Very silly. She is the worst character. If you took Abby out of it, I think the movie goes from like a 3.5 to like a 4.5, maybe.
So what you're saying is for this promo genuinely... picture, for the promo picture, I should Photoshop your head onto Abby.
No, if you do that, I will never speak to you again.
Genuinely, if you took Abby out of this movie, I would have laughed less, more than a few times less.
Yeah.
Which, mm-hmm. like, she was funny, man.
I thought she was funny.
She got too. Toledo confused with Toronto. She doesn't even know what Toledo, Ohio is.
Did you see that they're actually selling the band shirts, like, for the tour dates?
I did. That's funny.
Yeah. I'm going to buy one for Nick. And I shouldn't
have said that. You're about to spend $40 on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's going to be more expensive than it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, I'm sorry.
Maybe. No, yeah, Brad, that's fine.
If any Disney people listen to this, why are Spirit jerseys so expensive? It's very rude for Spirit jerseys to be $70 and then go on eBay for up to $200.
And also, if any Disney people are listening, why are the designs for your shirts so busy? Like, just make them, like, there's just like, oh, a cool design, but then it's like, and let's throw 90 other designs on that shirt. And just make it awful.
A lot of bands are doing that now, too. It's rough.
Yeah, there's a Muppets Haunted Mansion Spirit jersey, and the lowest one on eBay is $150.
I should buy it.
We'll make our own.
I just spent so much money already, though.
Yeah, and you can spend more on a Spirit jersey that have the Muppets on it.
I just, think about it this way.
If I just bought a PS5. I can't afford a Spirit jersey for $150.
Well, I guess I know where we're all going after this.
I will actually be there fairly soon.
It is not arriving for a while. But it went through, so it's... I think it'll be here the weekend Nick shows up.
Oh. 15 days, everybody. Woo. 15 days.
Now everybody knows they're all going to line up at Connor's house. And...
They don't know where I live.
I don't even know where Connor lives yet.
Brad knows where I live. He has my address for the Christmas card.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, but I don't know the actual, like, I don't know it off the top of my head. I could search for it.
You don't need to right now.
Dox him.
You don't want me to say it.
No doxing, please. No, thank you.
So I forgot to say, if anybody from Disney is listening, how are we still a podcast and you haven't shut us down?
Okay. Haven't you gotten cease and desisted to hell yet?
I think it's because, I mean, like, Disney Food Blog isn't an actual Disney page.
That's but they're true.
Verified. So I think Disney doesn't care as long as you're not, like, you know.
Passing yourself off as part of the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need, like, the disclaimer on there, which you got it.
Oh, I haven't been putting that on there. Disney just learned a legal tactic.
As if they don't have killer lawyers already.
I feel like looking at the Instagram page, and just, I mean, there's a picture of Chicken Little with, not even Photoshopped, I'll claim that. I just put Bob Chapek's head on him. I think if they came to this page, they would realize that it is not official.
So. Parody law or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we'll change the name if we'd have to. But,
you know. Back to D.
Yeah, we would just. Honestly, the show would probably just end.
The Brad College Podcast.
I was gonna say you wouldn't do a whole trailer and it'd be like it's time for our triumphant D turn.
Well, now I want them to. Like, now I want to get. I would frame that thing so, like, I'd instantly be like, yes, of course. I wouldn't give them the Instagram handles. So if they tried to make their own, they'd have to pay me.
Interesting choice.
Probably shouldn't be saying all my strategies.
Yeah, right.
On the show. This has been, you know, the bonus Disney College podcast. If you're listening for the first time and you made it this far.
Cool. Why?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
If you made it this far and you're like, oh, I want more of that. Well, good news. Once a month, we put out episodes. And supposedly we're going to have a bonus episode because one person has been sitting there, and it's Emmy's brother. He's been sitting there saying, I want you guys to review music again. Why? I don't know. So we're going to be talking about the new Machine Gun Kelly album and the new Weezer EP.
It will first come out drops tomorrow.
I know. It comes out on a Sunday, the whole album or the whole EP.
Weezer's weird, man.
Yeah. But then after that, we're going to be talking next month, because we're monthly episodes, technically, we're going to be talking Meet the Robinsons, you know, the movie from 2007.
About Brad's family.
I did. You want to hear the episode description? Because sometimes I'll write them before. It just says, Brad introduces James to his family.
Nice.
So, what do you guys do? What? I don't know why I'm talking like that. You guys can plug things if you'd like.
Sound like James there for a second.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I have to incorporate. I have to make James's presence here. I'll just laugh in the background. Not as high pitch. Yeah.
Yikes.
Connor, would you like to go or would you like me to go?
You can go.
Okay. If you're in New York, the weekend of... April 1st weekend, as I like to call it, April Fool's Day weekend. Podcast The Ride is having a live show on April 3rd at 8 p.m. Podcast The Ride is a podcast that is very good. Go see them. Keep an eye out for any new podcasts that we do with Cinema's Dead or with whatever the trilogy show would be called if that happens. Might just be a segment on Cinema's Dead. But also listen to Connor's stuff and Brad's stuff. So, love you. Bye.
Cinema is
dead. Liked...
Sorry, Connor. I know you had an awesome segue there, and I just kind of trampled over it.
You're good.
Aren't we doing like a Cinema is Dead Oscars thing?
We are, and I'll bring that up during my plugs.
All right. Well, I shouldn't have trampled on it.
So if you liked hearing me mention stuff about the animation industry and going a little too in-depth into that, you should check out the most recent episode of I Drink Your Podcast, where I guested to talk about How to Train Your Dragon, and we talked about the animation industry in general and why Illumination is a mess. And then I also got to make jokes about dragon sex and do my Jay Baruchel impression. It was a lot of fun.
Can we hear it now before we listen?
Yeah, can we hear a preview?
Dragons.
Sounded very, very close to what I remember him sounding like. I think it's clapping. I'll clap.
Did you ask the I Drink Your Podcast people to come drink with us on our podcast?
I did not. I think we recorded the first time afterwards.
Oh,
like
okay.
Mentioned it.
They're all invited. Open invitation. Come on, Cinema.
I can't. This sounds mean. I can't say the same for this podcast because me and James are so bad about having guests.
That's
you can
fine.
Reach out. You can reach out if you want. We've had people reach out that are like, you know, I used to do this for Disney. Can I come on? And I was just like, no.
We have the same
five people on our show.
We're also not great at reaching out to guests over on No Highway Option, which partially explains our current hiatus. Hopefully we'll come back at some point. We review movies and compare them to Pacifier. Hopefully it'll come back as that. I had an idea today that maybe could be a retooling of the show with the same hosts or a totally different show. Who knows? And as for me, if you want to follow me on anything, you'll get a lot of me complaining about entertainment or reacting excitedly to entertainment. It's at Corndair, CORNDAIR. That's Instagram, Twitter, Letterboxd, all that good nonsense. And yeah, Cinema is Dead, movie news, We're going to be doing a Predicting the Oscars and the Bradskers. I think Nick's idea was we just make a fake category and then you choose the winner, Brad.
Yeah, we pick a couple different categories, like best hair in a movie. Not best hair and makeup, just one actor with the best hair.
And am I doing this live? Like, is that...
Yep. I mean, I have... My first category is written inside the document already, best one-word title of the year. But, yeah, that'll be coming out probably within a week, considering the Oscars are in 2 weeks. So that's going to be fun. I have one movie left to watch of the Best Picture nominees, but I think I have who I want to win and who I think will win locked in.
I haven't watched any of them, so my guesses are going to be great.
Did you watch West Side Story?
It's so long, though. The thing is, I just...
Watch Tick, Tick, Boom.
West Side Story is one of the shorter ones nominated this year, though.
It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, Drive My Car is 3, and it's in Japanese.
I'm not, yeah.
That's the one I haven't watched yet, because I haven't, like, been able to sit down and focus.
See, I'll watch West Side Story at some point, but it'll probably be in, like, 3 years.
It's so good. I just got the steelbook today.
Oh.
I don't think remake should be allowed in the best picture category.
Nah, because it's a well done remake.
Yeah. Star is Born. West Side Story, we know how they end.
Yeah, but they're done in different ways that are exciting and fresh and good to look at.
I just want Brad, if I give you a category that's like best actor who in a movie said, hey, I just want to take one more look at you.
Another look at you.
Who would you? Yeah. Oh, that can be a fun category.
Best actor who played at the MTV Movie Awards.
We could have Ansel Elgort and whoever his character is, and then the character, the person who played his character in other movies. Or in the previous remakes.
Who is Did you better? Just complain about knowing the story for West Side Story, but you forgot the name of Tony?
I know that
the
West Side
main
Story,
character, Tony.
I know there's jets and there's sharks, and they like dance fight, and it's on the West Side. And
one of the segments of one of the songs is just Maria saying, Tony, 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 Tony.
Oh, well, now I have to see that.
And you forgot it.
I've actually never seen West Side Story. I was just saying that we know what happens to Jackson Maine.
He pees his pants at the MTV Movie Awards.
Or is it the Grammys? I forget where he pees his pants at.
I just like how he did that for a voice just because he needed to sound like Sam Elliott.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Sam Elliott's brother, so I might as well just go right down here.
Yeah, you know, like how you guys look nothing alike, but, you know, you have to sound alike.
Wait, someone peed their pants?
Did you see Star is Born?
Okay.
He pees his pants.
Yep, okay. I thought you were talking about in real life.
In real life, I would not be surprised if at one point Bradley Cooper has peed his pants, but like, because he's a human.
See, this joke went way over my head. It went way over my head.
All my friends pee their pants. Peeing their pants is the coolest.
That one.
If peeing yourself was considered cool, then just call me Miles Davis.
Should we just end it with that?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Turning Red, good.
Turning Red was good.
Yes.
Bye.